Welcome, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
All Saints night. All Saints night. Today I received a link from a young friend. Link to a YouTube short documentary on flamenco singing. And this young friend of ours, who is a well-trained dervish, is going to be probably going over to Spain next year and learning flamenco dance, flamenco music. And so I watched this documentary about a great flamenco singer. And it was quite interesting, was quite good. The man who is singing, he's older. And he's considered a genius in flamenco singing. It was in Spanish, but with subtitles. And I think it really revealed to me something about what's at the heart of this culture of flamenco. I guess it's meaningful to me because one of our young friends is going over, is going to enter that culture, and I'm asking, what will she learn? What is she going for? This flamenco singer was singing a lot about being poor, about being without money, talking about how in the old days, not now, but in the old days, I guess when he was young, and he's talking with his friends, and he's in, you know, a bar, that's where this happens, and he's saying, you know, in the old days, we didn't need much to have a party. He said one watermelon was enough to throw a party. If you had a watermelon, it was an excuse to throw it. We were that poor. He said, I'm lucky, you know, I don't desire much material things. I'm blessed because God has allowed me to enjoy bread and butter. If I have some bread and butter, I'm happy. I don't need caviar. In his singing, in his words, he was talking about, he pointed to glasses and the table, and there was a beer and there was a bit of food. He says, these things are not important. He says, what's important is something else, not these things. He says, what's important to me is music. Music is food for my soul, and the soul needs its food. I couldn't live without music. And some of the lyrics that he sang were a little bit like American blues. They were very much about, but a bit more poetic, a little more creative, you might say. Touching on both the sweetness and the bitterness of life, and how sometimes these are very mixed together. And he also spoke about how beautiful it was to come together and to sing about suffering, and how good you feel after it. And how it goes on for hours, sometimes for days. They would party for days. And then they would walk home, happy as could be. So I'm reflecting on all of this, and then we come in tonight, and I was going to talk to you about remembrance of God, Zikr Allah. And we're listening to music of the Ney flute. And I'm not thinking too much because we're in remembrance. We're not here to think and speculate. But I can't help but notice that the melody of the Ney flute has some similarities with the vocal spontaneity and elaborate sense of melody that you have in flamenco. The Ney flute and the flamenco, they have some real similarities. You know, they both kind of soar like birds melodically. So I'm also reflecting, well, what will our friend learn by going into flamenco? Something about self-expression, something about giving your whole heart to something. There's nothing laid back about flamenco. It's just full on, you know, passion. And what is that? What's the purpose of that? What's the usefulness of that? What's the point of that? And so I'm asking this question of myself, and I actually will ask it of us. I wish I could show you the documentary. That would be much better than talking about it, but I think you get some idea nevertheless of what we're talking about, and you've all seen flamenco music, I'm sure. It's also interesting that I know a number of Middle Eastern Sufi musicians who, in doing modern fusion kind of music, have joined with flamenco guitarists and flamenco musicians. So there has been a real kind of convergence, especially of Persian music. Welcome. Welcome. Come be comfortable. Welcome. You got past the tornadoes and the storms.
Storms.
Come. And you are welcome, ladies. So oddly enough, tonight we're talking about flamenco music. I thought you were coming to a Sufi gathering. We're talking about flamenco music, vocals, dance. So one of our friends is going. She's a dervish. She's a semizen, but she's going to take a few months and study flamenco in Spain. And sent me a little documentary about a great singer, and I was just describing the passion of flamenco and, in a way, the spirituality. Is it spirituality? Does it qualify? That's another question. These are people who were poor, who shun any attachment to the material life. They're not caught up in material things. They're not caught up in the usual ambitions of the mainstream. Of course, they're poor. They've been kept at the margins of life. They're gypsies. And the best of them have this culture where you listen to their music. First of all, there's a guitar. The guitar will play a line, and then this guy will improvise lines that will just amaze you. Wow, where did he get that from? It's very spontaneous. It's like composing poetry. It's like Sufi poetry. When I saw this guy, I thought, you know, if he were in Pakistan or Iran or some other places, he would be a Sufi. Look that way to me. But he's doing what his culture provides him. He's working within the forms that his culture offers him. And he's got a beer in his hand, you know. What he's saying is, this music is the food of my soul. And the food is not important. What's on the table is not important. None of these things matter. What matters is something beyond all of this. And it's in the music. And it's in my soul. And the music helps me find a relationship to that. So the subject tonight was and is going to be remembrance of God. But what do you think of this? What do you think? Is this what's going on, if you can imagine it, if you can put yourself into this situation, if you've ever seen really good flamenco dance and flamenco singers and guitar players. And how does this relate? How can we relate this in any way to zikr, to the remembrance of God? What's going on? Just for an interesting point of conversation.
When you're dancing in general, there's this feeling that you experience, that you only experience in that state. Mm-hmm. And I've often wondered about it, but what is it when the music, there's a beat on the music and you start dancing, what is that feeling of happiness, that just joy comes out of you?
Yes.
I've always wondered about it.
Yeah. And it's enough to wonder about it. We don't have to kind of nail it down with ideas, but nevertheless, maybe there's something to understand and something to appreciate in this. You know, until recent centuries, music was never separated from dance. Music was, for thousands of years, has been very closely associated with dance. Sometimes sacred dance, sometimes not so sacred, sometimes totally sensual activities. But there's something going on there. There's some kind of unity that people experience, maybe in that spontaneity of movement. And then there's also the call that the singer is making. You know, what does this compare to anything in your own spiritual life? Yes.
To me, you know, music is, it connects me more to spirituality than conventional prayers. That's my personal experience.
You know, and you're right, Qawwali music, which I'm sure is part of what you're referring to, right, is really a lot like flamenco. You know, because if you think of the Qawwali singer, he's kind of going, like, the flamenco guys are doing the same thing, same gestures, and the same a kind of call and response, and it's coming from the heart, something very alive in it.
My mind is very active, maybe hyperactive, and in order for me to remember God, I have to forget a lot.
Yes.
If I immerse myself in something, it could be music, or it could be dance, I can forget enough to remember that. Mm-hmm.
So the music could take you out of the thinking mind and into some other dimension of mind, I would say. Another part of your mind, or heart, or soul.
In these days, our grandson, Isa, he comes every morning. We are still in the bed. And he picks my iPad, says, "Nana, play me Urdu song."
Really?
Yeah, which he can't understand, but he enjoys the music.
Oh,
and he keeps on like this, you know, and sometimes he does it like this. And
So even the child is longing for that.
This is very routine. Every day he comes,
day
in
he
a
comes.
Fixed time, and he asks for that music.
Nana, play me Urdu song or something, he says.
Urdu Nazam.
That's mostly of, what's his name, Sami Yusuf. Yeah. Although it's in Arabic and some Urdu words he uses and some English. But actually, basically it's the music he enjoys.
Yeah.
I actually wonder about children, that if you've never shown a child anything to do with dancing, if you've never seen it being done, but you play the music and they somehow know that you have to move your body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like something happens inside of
you. Yeah. It's a natural response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yet in some circles it's considered haram.
Yeah, it is.
In some people's minds, it's forbidden.
Yes.
Taboo. Although we know that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, a group of Abyssinian people came and they began a chant, and for all we know the chant might have been La ilaha illallah, and they had a particular movement that they did. We still do that movement today in Sufi circles. It was adopted from those people. Maybe we'll do it tonight, if you like.
And when he came to Medina, the women were waiting on the rooftops, singing and
with drums.
Playing their drums, moving, I'm sure.
Flowing.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Sometimes you should take some time alone and sit somewhere far away from this city life, and we should enjoy this nature.
Yeah.
And you will feel something. You know, such music is astounded. We are so much astounded by the natural music.
There was a scientist who records sound in environments, and he did a recording of a place in nature. It was a forest, and the sound was so complex and so rich, and you could see it when it's graphed. It's just like, it looks like the forest itself, and then it was logged. And not clear cut, but just somewhat logged. In other words, it was disturbed. And he kept taking sound samples year after year after year. And it was 10 years had passed, and that original richness of sound had not come back yet. So even the sound is destroyed when the environment is disturbed. But I'm wandering a little bit off the topic. What I marveled at in watching this man, who, as I said, when I looked at him, I thought, this, in another culture, he would definitely be a Sufi. In another culture, instead of being limited in his frame of reference, was, in a sense, of this world. I don't want to say worldly, but of this world and of the realm of human selves. And all the things we experience and suffer and regret and take joy in, the ups and downs of life, the expansion, the contraction, all of that, food and drink, gain and loss, love and its opposite. That was what the substance of the lyrics. And yet, there was as if you sensed even in this, even though this, he was within this frame of reference, which was of this world, that somehow he was going beyond those boundaries. Not explicitly, but something was kind of reaching beyond and through these images to something that I would call to the unconditioned, to the state beyond circumstances, to another level of meaning, another level of truth, another level of reality. But only with a kind of bit of a dim, my sense of it is a dim sense of it. And yet there's passion, there's the passion of the human soul. And the soul is very much alive. And that in itself is beautiful, because the human soul is of God. You know, it may not even have heard of God, but it's of God. It doesn't have a religious framework. It doesn't hardly even have a spiritual framework, let alone a religious one. And although a spiritual framework probably is higher than a conventionally religious framework, it doesn't have that, and yet the soul is somehow longing. There's a yearning and longing of the soul. And the people who are listening are resonating with that. They're coming into some relationship with that. And in the end, the bottom line is they've been singing about the sufferings of life, and they've been singing about their troubles and hard times. But when all is said and done, they're joyful. They're happy for having sung, for having participated in that music. So the music somehow transformed life itself. So if this friend of ours goes and takes a few months and picks up something there, picks up some of that passion or some of that color or something there, some qualities, you know, because we're also human beings in a world of qualities. And maybe this will enrich her soul in some way or deepen the textures, the colors of her soul. I would hope. And at the same time, we come to the music we listen to tonight, the music of Vinay. Or we could also talk about if we had some Qawwali music, for instance, or some passionate Persian music. There's that said that passion is there, but it's going directly to the divine. It's voicing the divine. It's like the divine is voicing itself through these people. It's a very direct, it's a very immediate, it's a very connection to a reality so purely of that higher truth or that of that higher love. And we have, instead of the flamenco dancer and guitarist and singer in a bar, and traditionally we have Sufis in what's called the Tavern of Rooms. Sufis called their tekyas, their dergas, they call them taverns, mehane in Persian. Me is wine, hane, house of wine. It's the house of wine. And they say, and there's the cup pourer, the one who's filling everybody's glass, is a divine cupbearer who's filling everybody's glass with that intoxicating wine of love. So there's incredible beauty in this. It was mixed in with poetry, it was mixed in with music, with the same kind of spontaneity and poetic immediacy, but it was very direct to the divine. It was, in fact, a form of zikr, remembrance. And beautiful that it has a passion for God. I'm speaking about this in order that we might have perhaps a new perspective on the significance and the importance of remembrance, of zikr. There are according to some, there are levels of remembrance, levels of zikr. Using the Quran as a basis, I'm just going to share with you three levels, three ways of understanding the remembrance of God, which is the highest practice in our tradition, As the Quran says, zikr is the greatest, period. Zikr is the greatest. Greatest anything. So here's one from Surah Muzammil, which is a very early surah revealed to Muhammad, maybe the third one, second or third revealed in its historic sequence. And remember the name of your Lord, your sustainer, and devote yourself wholeheartedly to God, the only divinity, Lord of the rising and the setting sun, the only disposer of your affairs. This is the lowest level. Actually, it's not low at all. It can never be low, but remember the name. The emphasis here is on the name. Remember the name of your sustainer. So the simplest, most direct way to remember the divine is through a divine name. But here it says more than that. It says devote yourself. I translate it as wholeheartedly to God. But what it really says is devote yourself devotedly to God. The Arabic word is batin, root of it. So really give yourself with everything you've got. That would be a kind of colloquial paraphrase. The only God. It's the only one. Lord of the rising and the setting sun. Actually, Lord of the east and the west. And would usually Maghrib, Mashriq, the east is the place where the sun rises, and the west is the place where the sun sets. And when we say east and west in English, we forget that in the original language here, it's not saying east and west, it's saying the direction of the sunrise and the direction of the sunset gives a picture. So that one divinity is the Lord, the sustainer of that which brings forth the light and that which settles the light. And then, and the only disposer of your affairs, the only wakil. You know the word wakil or vakil. The trustee, the only one to trust, the only disposer of your affairs, the only one that is absolutely the trustworthy trustee of every detail of your life. So here in this little ayat is an introduction to the first level of remembrance. Imagine this being sung by a flamenco singer with a guitar, and somebody dancing it. Why not? It would be extraordinary. So where do we go from here? Is there more than this? The second level is the stage of remembering the sacred divine essence in your own heart. Not just through the name, but deeper into the heart. And here, and I'll give you these sheets so you can have these references, those who are interested. Remember your sustainer, your Lord, within yourself, it says. Remember your sustainer within yourself. Don't ever take these words for granted. It really means within, not in your head even, not in your thoughts, within yourself. How? Humbly and reverently, or humbly and in awe, or humbly, and if you like, even with a sense of trepidation and trembling, because this is big. What we're talking about is something big. Something very big. So remember your Lord, your sustainer, within yourself humbly and reverently, in the morning and in the evening. And do not be Gafla, heedless, unconscious, foolishly oblivious. Do not be among those who are heedless. Do not be one of the heedless. So that's the second stage. And the third stage, the ultimate level, when a person ascends higher than just performing the remembrance of God, and remembering the status of lordship of the divine, but arriving at a state of remembrance in which all the characteristics of beauty, all the beauty and richness of the divine, everything that is present in the divine essence comes into you. And from Surah Al-Ahzab, O you who have true faith, remember God, remember much, and glorify God morning and evening. So there's remembrance of the tongue, there's remembrance of the heart, and there's remembrance through action. There's remembrance through every movement of your life, every step of your life. Everything you say, every time your tongue moves, it's conceivable. They say it's possible. A human being could be that much in a state of remembrance. These stages are not all linear. You don't just go from one to the next and forever stay there at that stage. Even our beloved flamenco singer, without knowing it, he may be touching this third state. More than the pious man who thinks he's fasted a lot and prayed a lot and prides himself in it. This drunken flamenco singer may be closer to God. It's not for me to say. It's not for you to say. We don't know. For sure, if there's any pride in our spiritual practice, we are on a low level, not a high level. But I'm still thinking about how beautiful is this knowledge. How beautiful is this revelation that reminds us of these levels, that reminds us of these possibilities. Of course, we could read any of these ayats, and unless we were in such a pure, open-hearted state, we would never hear even what it's saying. It doesn't sound like much. You've heard it a million times. Remember this name of your sustainer and devote yourself wholeheartedly to God, the only divinity, Lord of the East and the West, the only disposer of your affairs. Oh yeah, heard that before. But does the heart hear it? Does the heart live it? As much as that flamenco musician singing in his drunkenness is touching something real. That's his genius. He's touching something, whatever it is, it's something real that he's touching and expressing. So the reason that, I mean, this is the most basic teaching of our path. I mean, it doesn't get more basic than this, and yet in its basicness it's also very, very high. It goes all the way. This is the whole spiritual journey. There's nothing simpler or more basic than remembering God. And at the same time, the illumination from that cosmic essence which the human heart can experience by orienting towards that, when the because of the nature of your soul and your heart, your spiritual substance, your spiritual nature because of what you are. You're merely turning sincerely to your divine source with sincerity is enough vibrationally to lock you into that reality, to bring you into resonance with that reality, so that your very self and your mind and your emotions and your body and your actions, your behaviors, will be transformed. It's almost, you could say, scientific. It's a vibrational linkage. It's a channel. It's a broadcast. It's a it's a very real energy, which, if we are among the heedless, no, we're nowhere near it. We're oblivious to it. And it's more than just a repetitive mouthing of words. If we were in remembrance, we would be conscious of every step and what is right, what is appropriate at this moment, as if we were in the sight of God. Not out of some, you know, fear and shame, like God's snooping on me, he's looking over my shoulder. Not that kind of fear. But a real sense of that, no, that we are in this divine reality. We want to conduct ourselves in the most beautiful way, because we're in the eyes of the vision of that beauty. Thursday night we do zikr here. Not every Thursday night. Not next Thursday night, for instance. What's your name? Yes. Welcome. So it's left to us to do this practice, to do this work, to awaken the heart so that it's capable of living more and more in that state. And it's not just a mental procedure. It's not even just a nice feeling. Ultimately, it rules what we do and how we do it. How we act, how we follow spiritual laws, how aware we are of spiritual laws, how we accord ourselves with the highest ethics we know. It's always raising us to another standard of kindness, of compassion, of generosity, of honesty, of courage, of justice. final words or thoughts from anyone?
Whatever you say, whatever you do, any action, it has a purpose. Anything you do, it has purpose. And it remembers me, Baba Sikha, as it is said in Surah Sambal, that remember your Lord in the morning, in the night.
Yes.
The zikr is something has also a purpose in it. As Allah says, although you know that prayer is a difficult task for man, but if anybody has a hope or willingness to see his Lord, then it's not a difficult task for those.
Mm.
So it's such a beautiful and higher purpose of that.
Yes.
Allah is not compelling us to go and pray. No, he is just telling you the reward of or the purpose of your zikr. It will reach you to the lika or to the seeing of your Lord, which is the higher purpose of any zikr. If somebody is willing to have that willingness, then it will be a very beautiful exercise or practice or enjoyment.
Yes.
Lead you to that lika.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It leads you to the Most High.
Yeah, it is.
We are here, we're all these levels, we're down here in this level, but it also connects us with the highest level of truth and reality.
Yes.